Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. I hope you've had a good week. This week we're going to talk about weight loss. It seems that a day doesn't go by that we're not reminded that America's girth is getting larger. Studies suggest a correlation between obesity and diabetes and perhaps other conditions, including hypertension, sleep apnea, osteoarthritis, and even some forms of heart disease. What seems clear is that there is no easy way to lose weight, and prevention is much easier than cure. But even prevention isn't easy. We're battling Madison Avenue with advertisements pushing our kids and our colleagues to eat junky food. Well, achieving effective weight loss has eluded all of the capitalistic ventures. Pills, devices, and surgeries all offer short-term solutions, but when looked at from a longitudinal perspective, they either fail or have insignificant long-term benefits. Others have significant side effects. This week, Mark has chosen a study that asks at the one-year mark, which diet is most effective for maintaining weight loss? In this particular study, they're looking at premenopausal women. Mark, what did they find?
Well, the investigators found 311 premenopausal women. They were between the ages of 25 and 50. They all had a body mass index between 27 and 40 kilograms per meter squared. They none of them had uncontrolled medical conditions, recent weight fluctuations, or were pregnant. Those folks were all excluded. They then randomly assigned them to one of four diets: the Atkins, which is very low carb and very high fat; the Zone diet, which is low carb and moderate fat; the Learn diet, which stands for lifestyle, exercise, attitudes, relationships, and nutrition, more traditional low fat, high carb diet; or the Ornish, which is a very high carb, low fat, a very low fat diet. The participants were encouraged to read the book written for their group's diet and also attend a one-hour class once a week for 8 weeks that was led by a dietitian. The primary outcome was weight loss at 12 months, and remarkably, none of the participants were lost to follow-up. Participants assigned to the Atkins group actually lost the most weight, about 12 pounds, compared to 4 pounds for the Zone, 5 for the Learn, and 6 for the Ornish diets. The Atkins group also saw some significant reductions at 1 year in their LDL, but no change in their HDL or blood pressure. There were also no differences in insulin or fasting glucose levels. The weight loss seemed to peak at about 6 months for all of the diets, and not surprisingly, a lot of patients had regained some of that weight after 1 year. So the bottom line is that in overweight and obese women on the Atkins diet, they lost a little more weight than similar women following other plans. None of the weight losses were, you know, spectacularly successful. Certainly the average of 12 pounds is good, but not a home run, I'd say. The women on the Atkins diet did show some improved overall metabolic effects in the short term, but we really don't know the effects long term. Unfortunately, none of these diet studies that have been randomized trials have really ever looked beyond a year or have really looked at clinical outcomes like cardiovascular events and overall mortality.
What's the primary care doctor to do with the patient that's 20 or 30 pounds overweight who comes in and says, "Doc, I really do want to lose weight. You know, I've tried cutting back. We don't eat fried foods, you know, all the usual things. I'm even going to exercise class three or four times a week, but I need some help."
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we've all been there with our patients on this. And, you know, I think it's tougher as we've engineered our society to make people big. We drive everywhere. The food portions, if you go into the grocery store, 800 calories of bad, unhealthy, fatty, or sugary food is much cheaper than 800 calories worth of fruits and vegetables. Right. Our communities are not designed for walking, for cycling. So we've made it very easy in this country to get big and to be sedentary. And so it really is a challenge. You know, all you have to do is spend a little time in Italy and see everyone going for, you know, eating small portions of meat, going for a long walk after dinner, walking to the grocery store, buying fresh foods every day, to see that I think that overall lifestyle has a pretty big impact. I think when I talk to patients, I like to emphasize sticking with a program. If the Atkins may sound really appealing for the first 2 weeks, but after that they're probably going to get pretty tired of hamburger patties and, a diet that's more balanced and something they can stick with is going to be the key. It may not be the same. Some patients may really like that Atkins diet, and at least short-term it appears to be safe. I guess there is a concern. There was a recent Swedish cohort study where they followed 42,000 women for 12 years. It was published in the Journal of Internal Medicine this month. And they found that those following a diet lower in carbs and higher in protein, like the Atkins, that was actually associated with an increase in total mortality. So there is some, long-term concern. It wasn't a randomized trial, but it does raise a bit of a warning flag for this kind of a diet used long-term.
And again, going back to the POEMS concept, it is important that we keep our eye on meaningful patient-oriented outcomes, not HDLs, but if mortality or heart disease increases, well, perhaps that's an important thing to keep our eye on.
Absolutely. It's just like, in some ways, it parallels what we saw with HRT.
Thank you. We will be careful and choose our diets carefully. We'll talk with you again next week, Mark. Thanks for the information, and have a good week.
Thanks, Mike. Talk to you next week.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.